the church says. You know, this morning, you know, we're not going to be in the book of Galatians until after the high the school dedication next Sunday. Then we'll begin Galatians as we normally teach through the books of the Bible. This morning, I want to pick up from last Sunday, which was postscript one about 2 Corinthians, Paul's incredible, intimate, loving, transparent letter, if you will, to the church of Corinth, a church that was so messed up and so divided and in such trouble. And this morning, you know, I want to talk to you, or let's pick up from last Sunday. Remember that we talked about being a new creation, that, you know, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's new creation. All things become new. Old things, they pass away. Amen? Now, with all that being said, it's important that you understand something other about, or more about, a new creation. A new creation is more than just a theological position of the believer. If we treat it as such, we're really in trouble. See, it's much more than just being in our position in Christ. Loved one, to be a new creation is an ongoing adventure, amen? An ongoing adventure with the Godhead, if you will, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, this morning, I want to talk to you about those things. And we're going to be in three different places. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. We'll be there first. Then we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then I'll be briefly in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, which was that beautiful benediction of Paul's. Now, with all that being said, I want to talk to you about a specific word this morning that's very important to a person who is born from above. And that's the word koinonia. We have what we call the Koinonia Cafe. That word, that Greek word, means fellowship. And it's one of the most beautiful words that heaven has ever sent us. Amen? I mean, think about, when you think about that word from heaven, koinonia, you know that we have the privilege to be intimate with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a moment. That intimacy, that sharing, that participation, and so forth. And when you think about that, like having all things in common, that's another wording for the word koinonia or fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, remember after Peter had preached that incredible sermon, it says that when they gathered together, all the children of God there with the apostles and so forth, it says that they were steadfastly, that word means devoted. They were steadfastly devoted to the apostles' teaching or the doctrine. And it says they were devoted to fellowship, wonderful word, and to prayer, and to the breaking of bread, and so forth. Well, the word that we're interested in this morning is fellowship. Can you imagine on the day of Pentecost, there in the upper room were 120, and then there were all those outside of the temple that were just the Jewish people that had not yet come to Christ. They were just waiting on Peter. They didn't know what was going on. And the 120 were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues, the Bible says. And then Peter walks out and preaches the first gospel message under Christendom. And it says that 3,000 people were saved. Can you imagine in one day having 3,120 new creations in Christ? Think about it. How'd you like to baptize 3,000 people? Do you understand? And what's wonderful about that glorious day 2,000 years ago, now listen carefully, there was not one man-made program. None. They were all being led and they were all being directed now by the Holy Spirit of God, the divine helper. Amen? That's such a wonderful thing. There are no youth programs. There was none of those things. They didn't have a parking lot. They didn't have to have all the lighting. Do you understand? They were basking in the Shekinah glory of God. Yeah, it was totally different. So here, when we think about that, the one thing that they did have, they were devoted to koinonia. They were devoted to each other. They were in deep unity. There was deep intimacy between them. Now, we are the body of Christ. And there should be that same koinonia, that same intimacy, that mutual association between one another. Amen? When we have fellowship with one another, are we usually speaking one to another, praying with one another, loving one another, maybe a holy hug or whatever? Do you follow me? But that's with people, with us, the body of Christ. But what about communion, fellowship, intimacy with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's a very, very important thing, loved one, to consider. See, today's church is guilty about knowing about God the Father. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to know. Or knowing about Jesus the Son, knowing about the Divine Helper, the Holy Spirit of God. And the thing is, but you can just know, it's not Jesus 101. In other words, you can know just a bunch of facts, can't you? But see, koinonia is not just a bunch of facts. Koinonia is when you have true intimacy with God. And there is nothing greater on this planet than having that. Paul said this. He said, that I may know him. The word know, gnosko, it means to, not facts, it means deep intimacy, fellowship. It says, may I know him and the power of his resurrection. And here it is, the fellowship, the koinonia of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death. You know, this morning as you have turned, I pray to 1 John chapter 1. I pray that you really listen carefully about what we have and what God offers us. And let's begin this morning with the fellowship of God the Father. In 1 John 1:1, remember first of all what Jesus' prayer was and what John 17:3, the high priestly prayer of the Lord when he was praying. He said this, he said, oh Father, he says, that they may know you, meaning God the Father. Know God the Father intimately, the only true God. With that, let's begin. It says, that which was from the beginning, John the Apostle writes, he says, which we have what? We've heard. And that which we, meaning the 12, okay, the 12 disciples, we've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, and the word looked upon means we investigated the Lord. Man, we examined him for 3 long years. And look at this, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life with this Jesus Christ our Lord. So John says this, to them at the first century and to the 21st century church, he says, listen, I knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew the color of his eyes. I knew the color of his hair. I knew his mannerisms, his personality. I knew Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, face to face. That is a historical fact, loved one. We have it right before, right here. John says, you know what? I talked with him. I ate with him. Man, I heard his voice. I heard him preach. I saw my Savior murdered upon the cross. I saw his body taken down and placed into the tomb. I saw my Savior raised from the dead. And I was with him when we were led out by the risen Lord to the mount where he ascended into the clouds and he went back home to heaven. He says, I saw all of it. And he says, and the life was manifested, meaning to make real or to everyone, made visible. His life was manifested, and we have seen, we bear witness, declare to you, that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. And that which we have seen, that which we've heard, we declare to you, here it comes, that you then and now also may have fellowship with us, and truly our koinonia, our intimacy is, not was, but is, with whom? With the Father. The koinonia, the fellowship, loved one, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. It is an impossibility to fellowship with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and not have inexpressible joy in our heart, especially when he manifests himself to you. Do you follow me? How wonderful that is. So John the Apostle, 2,000 years ago, just as true then it is today, he says, you can have, church, the exact same fellowship that I have. You can have it as well. Today, you know, we hear all these sayings, you know, from such crazy times. You know. Well, here's what we need. You know, we need a new move. We need a new anointing. We need a new truth in order to have this kind of thing. No, we don't. We just need to believe God's word. Amen? That's all that we need, loved one, to have fellowship with the Father, that deep intimacy. Now, John says, we can have the exact same fellowship that he had with the Father. The same type of intimacy is available to every born-again believer. Now, I want to ask you a question. When John penned 1 John, where was Jesus Christ? It's okay, you can talk. First service, talk, you can talk. He was in heaven. He was seated at the right hand of. So that means that when he penned this, Jesus was not visibly present. He was in heaven, and he was sitting right next to God the Father, who is in heaven also. Now listen, what does that mean when he says, you can have the same fellowship that we're having? How in the world did that happen? Loved one, listen to me. When we fellowship with God the Father, and or Jesus the Son, or with the Holy Spirit of God, do you see them? No. Did they see them? No. Jesus had ascended, loved one. So what does that mean? It means that they knew that Jesus Christ was present with them, that God the Father was right there, and God the Holy Spirit was there. In other words, they were fellowshipping with what could not be seen or with the unseen. Now listen, why is that? See, that's where we're so messed up today. We have to see something to enjoy it. Listen, when I go into my prayer room, I don't see anything because the lights are off. I love you over here. No, do you understand? They were fellowshipping, and the reason it was unseen is because they knew that they were not alone. See, there is not a place that God the Father isn't. Amen? He's with us right now. He sees, he knows, he cares, he loves us. Listen, there is not a place where God isn't anywhere in the entire universe. God is spirit, okay? The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, verse 7, it says this, where can I go? The psalmist cries out. I said, where can I go, O God, from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Well, you can't. See, God is everywhere. And you know what the devil wants, especially your prayer time or your walk with God or the walking with the Holy Spirit, whatever it might be. He wants the church today to believe, well, you don't see him. Where is he? He's not really that close to you. He's not really present with you. Well, Satan is a liar. Amen. God is right here. There's angels right here with us this morning. Jesus is right here with us right now. Do you understand? How wonderful to know that. Look at verse 5 now. And this is the message which we have from him, meaning from Jesus, and declare to you that God is what? God is light, unmixed. He's pure. He's holy. God, when God moves, there is no shadow. Let's put it that way. It says, God is light, and in him, meaning God the Father, is no darkness at all. Verse 6, talking about fellowship, intimacy, koinonia. If we say, we, the new creation in Christ, the born-again believer, if we say we have koinonia, intimacy, fellowship with God, with him, look at this, and we walk in darkness, John says, we lie, we don't practice the truth. Man, you want to be in fellowship with God? You cannot be in fellowship with God and fellowship with darkness at the same time. No believer can practice an ongoing, habitual lifestyle of sin and expect to have any type of fellowship with God the Father. Now listen, if you're not fellowshipping with God the Father and you're a believer, then are you intimate with something else? Are you intimate with darkness? Don't do that. No, so, no, no, no. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, there's that word again, we have intimacy. We share in his life. We have fellowship, one with one another, meaning you and God the Father. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, that's present tense, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You can't be walking, if you're going to walk in the light, that's the only place a Christian should be walking. Get away from darkness, amen? It says in Genesis 5:22, remember it says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. In other words, not found. He was translated, taken up into heaven. But the phrasing walk with God means that Enoch had fellowship. He had deep intimacy with God the Father. I can't imagine how wonderful that must have been. Think about that. Walking with God. He was so close to God in his walk that God was right there with him all the time where they had that kind of fellowship. See, the place of intimacy is always found, loved one, in the light. If you want fellowship with God the Father, then you get in the light. You see, the believer has so much more than forgiveness. Thank God we're forgiven. Thank God our sins are far as the east is from the west. But see, we have intimacy with God the Father. Why? We're partakers, sharers of his divine nature. We share in the very life of God. He truly is our Father. We truly are his children. Amen? Now listen, you know, the greatest way to have fellowship with God the Father is prayer. You know, that's why prayer is attacked so much in the body of Christ. The devil doesn't want you to pray because he knows if you truly develop the discipline, that spiritual discipline, to pray, you're going to have fellowship with God the Father. Every time you go to the throne of grace, loved one, I'm telling you what, he is right there. The Bible tells us this, draw nigh unto God, meaning God the Father, and what? He will draw nigh unto you. I mean, do you have a prayer time? Are you experiencing fellowship in your prayer time? When you walk in, that's why I always teach, listen, don't, when you walk into your place of prayer, wherever it is, you know, and you shut the door, the lights are out, the computer is off, there's no one there but you and God. I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you truly fellowship with him? Do you truly walk in, or do you go just immediately, oh, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. And God, the scripture says, he already knows what you need. Even before you ask, it's okay. He wants you to ask him. But you ever think about going in, like when you see your own father, and you say, hey, Dad, how you doing? You give him a hug. I sure love you. Good to see you. How have you been? Do you ever just open up and say, our Father, my Father, you're my Father. Oh, you're my Father who art in heaven. I hallow your name. I honor your name. I worship you in Jesus. I love you, Lord. Where you start off praising him instead of making a request from him. That is the beginning of deep fellowship, learning to fellowship with God the Father. There's no other way, man, to go to the throne of grace. He's right there. He wants you to come each and every day. That's why even Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. But when you come to him, loved one, the way you approach him is very important. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible, not difficult. It is impossible to please him. For he who comes to him, meaning you come into the Lord in prayer, he who comes to him must believe that what? That he is. It doesn't do you any good to go pray if you don't believe, number one, he hears you, and number two, that he exists, and you come by faith, and if you come with any other thing, it won't work. By faith. It's impossible. And he, God the Father, is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently, that's a very important word, diligently seek him. You put everything aside. You want fellowship with God the Father? You put everything aside. Every morning, I close that door. Well, I leave sometimes. If Becky's not up, I'll leave it open. But there's not any lights. There's my chair and another chair. God the Father and Bill. I'm serious. He's right there. And I turn right toward him. Turn right there. And I start pouring. The Bible says, pour your heart out to God. You can pour your heart out to the Lord. You can tell him anything. You ever just in your prayer time, you're in the dark, you're all by yourself, and you just lift your hands and start worshiping. God is seeking such that would worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. He's looking for you. He's waiting for you. That's how you develop that deep, ongoing fellowship with God the Father. Go to the Holy of Holies. He's right there. He wants you to come each and every day. Now, let's look now at Jesus, the fellowship that we have with him. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and go to, let's start at verse 4. Verse 4. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything. You're wealthy in everything. And notice, by him, by Christ, in all utterance, in all knowledge. Now, he's talking then about all the gifts of the Spirit. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you may come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation or the manifestation, if you will, or the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, with this messed up church, this carnal church, acting like people that were not even born again, he doesn't condemn them or try to correct them in the beginning. He tells them who they are in Christ Jesus. And then he opens up with a verse that is so dear to my heart. I'm telling you, fellowshipping with Jesus. Jesus, the head of the church, the one who all things have been committed to him. We're his body who fills all and all. Amen? It says, look now, that God is faithful, or as the Greek reads, faithful is God. Why and what for? Well, by whom, meaning God, you, 2,000 years ago, the church at Corinth, and us today, you were called into what? The, that word the, that is very important. You were called into the intimacy. You were called into the perfect koinonia, if you will, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who has all authority, heaven and earth. Loved one, listen, I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, I'm not faithful, but you're faithful. Thank God. He is always faithful. Amen. And he says, you were called. Listen, we've been called. God has called us into many things, loved one. The Bible says we've been called to inherit a blessing. God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But here, in this other calling, I mean, think about it. This is your privilege and honor because of Jesus Christ, because you're a new creation. Talking about koinonia and fellowship, you have been called into fellowship with the Son of God, our Savior and our Lord. I don't know what that verse does for you, but it does so much for me. Loved one, that is the greatest honor, the greatest privilege given man on earth. Amen? Amen? Listen, let me ask you a question. Fellowshipping with Jesus, is that a true reality for you? You need to ask yourself. And not only that, does it excite you that you can really fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I tell you, Paul the Apostle said this in Philippians 3:8. He says, man, I consider everything lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The word knowing, again, gnosko, to experience Jesus, to have intimacy with him. He says, everything that I have, it is worthless, man, except for that one thing. I read a story not long ago about Billy Graham. Billy Graham is a great man of God, amen? Yes, he knew kings and queens, and he knew people, dictator. He knew people all over the world. I mean, even president after president after president. A person was eating dinner with Billy Graham, and I'll not mention his name. Wasn't me, though. And he was eating. He says, Billy, he asked him, he says, let me ask you a question. He said, what did you love most? This is just recently before he passed away. What do you love most, Billy, about all the long years that you had in the ministry? Listen to Billy's reply. It says, without hesitation, Billy said this: it has been my fellowship with Jesus, my intimacy, my koinonia with Jesus, to sense, oh, his presence, to glean his wisdom, to have him guide me, to have him direct me. That has been the greatest joy in my entire life. Can we say that? I want to say that. Listen, can you find anybody better to fellowship with? Huh? Come on. No, listen, the word koinonia, we share in the plans of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the love of Jesus. We share in it all. All of his, whatever purpose Jesus had, it's our purpose as well. And not only that, we have the privilege to going through this life with a partner who will never leave us, never forsake us, no matter what we're going through, and who is with us always. Amen. Whatever you're going through, listen, Jesus is going through. You're never alone in your problem, in your pain, or in your joy. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. He's here. He's here with us right this minute. And you know what? The church at Corinth, well, I should say, the 21st century church, whether they know it or not, it doesn't take a prophet to know this, but whether they know it or not, they're kind of like the first century church or the church there at Corinth. I mean, you know what they did? The Corinthians, they messed everything up. In other words, they lost sight, loved one, of the here-ness and the now-ness of God, that inescapable presence of the living Christ right there. Have we? Have we lost that? Listen, I know that Jesus is here. I know that he's here. Do you see him? Of course I don't see him. Well, then how do you know? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. The evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. He's here. Well, how do you see him? Through the eye of faith. We're two more gathered in his name. Jesus, I'm right there. I'm right here. He's with us right now. He could manifest himself right this minute if he so chose. He's God. He can do anything. Amen. But he is here. He's here. Sometimes I pray, God, if God let the church, this church, just for one second see into the supernatural, you'd never be the same again. Never again to see the angels that are in this room, knowing that the Spirit of the Lord is right here with us, that the Holy Spirit is right here with us. Man, God wants fellowship. But here's the problem. Whenever the church, like Corinth did, we don't want this to happen to us, they lost the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you can't have fellowship unless you give Jesus the right title. Amen? He is our Lord. Lord, Kyrios. He is our owner. He is our master. We are his purchased possession. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, I want that fellowship. Now, listen, don't confuse fellowship and relationship. Relationship, we are new creations in Christ. You're sons and daughters of God. Amen? But fellowship is for a son and daughter, our new creation, to reach out and have intimacy with the one who loves you, who died for you. That's what that means. And the way that we experience fellowship with Jesus, it's found really one way, or many ways, but especially this way. And that is when you follow the Lord, you have fellowship with the Lord. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees at the temple there, and he said unto them, he said, I am, that's in other words, I am God, I am the light of the world. I am the only illumination that this world will ever need, the only one that will ever give light. No other light exists but one. I am the true light of the world. Amen? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he, or she, whatever, who follows after me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But you have to follow him. In other words, if you're not following Jesus, how can you fellowship with Jesus? That is so important, loved one. It's no different than the children of Israel of old. Remember, how did they follow the Shekinah glory of God there in the wilderness? It's just the same with following the Lord today. In other words, there was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Amen? So whenever the cloud moved, did the children of Israel move? Yeah. They moved as one, just like one person. Whenever the cloud rested, did the children of Israel rest? Yeah, they rested like one person. Now listen, Jesus is our light. He is the light that allows us to move out of the darkness and walk in his light. And loved one, when we do that, he guides us, the church, as one body, as we sojourn through this world that's fallen. Listen. Follow the light. As we follow the light, we move with the Lord. When he stops, we stop. As he leads, we get right back in line. We're on a forced march or a race to heaven. Loved one, one day, all of us, we're going to be together in heaven. Amen? Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. Do you think the place he's preparing for us is perfect? Yes, and when we get to that place in the end of our lives, you'll find out It is the absolute perfect place for perfect fellowship. We're all there. I was listening to a song. I don't know if it was it wasn't this morning, but it must have been. It was one day this week. You know, when I shave, you know, I put on, you know what I'm, okay. So, man, I was listening to an old Russ Taff. Remember Russ Taff of the Imperials? Man, I tell you what, and I told Becky, you know, I said, that moves me, but I said, can you imagine when we get to heaven and what the music is really going to be like? Oh, my gosh. Oh, loved one, do you know what awaits you? And I look and I think about the fellowship that we have. Oh, man, to follow Jesus, there's nothing greater. Now, listen, how do we follow the Lord? Well, let me back up also. Jesus, he's a friend of sinners and tax collectors. Amen? Okay, but does he fellowship with them? No, he doesn't fellowship with sinners. The fellowship means to have all things in common. The koinonia, intimacy. He doesn't put his arm around a drunk and say, hey, oh, man. Come on. No, he wants to save that person. He came to seek and save the lost. Okay, so there's no fellowship. There's no intimacy there with the tax collectors and the people that are sinning and they're not saved. Jesus only has intimacy and fellowship with sheep. That's it. John 10:27, Jesus said, he said unto them, he said, listen, he said, my sheep hear my voice. You've all heard the voice of the Lord. You're saved. You follow me? And I love this. And then he says about the sheep, he says, I know them. I know them. Not about them like he knows everything about you, of course. But he says, I know their sheep. I know their new creations. I know they belong to me. I know that I'm the great shepherd and they're the sheep of my pasture. I know them intimately, meaning koinonia. I know them. And he says about the sheep, he said, listen, I know them and they do something. They follow me. True sheep follow the shepherd. That's it. That's it. Jesus told us, remember in Luke, 9:23? If anyone desires to come after me, your heart says, I want to follow you, Lord. He says, okay, here are the conditions, and you can do it with my grace and my strength and my power. You have to disown yourself. You have to deny yourself. It's no longer about you anymore. It's only going to be about me. I am the Lord, and you are the sheep. You're going to follow me. You're going to deny yourself, take up your cross daily. And then Jesus said, this is what sheep do. Those who really love me, they come after me. They follow me. See, that's how we fellowship with the Lord. See, if we don't follow the Lord, will we miss out what on the plan of God? Yes. We have to get on the narrow road with Jesus where he says, come on. You know, Jesus, what did he say in Mark 1:17? Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Listen, I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, to follow you, to do what you want us to do. You might end up like Peter walking on water or, you know, or something wild like that, supernatural. Who knows? Not in your power, but in the power of God. I mean, I look and I say, oh, Lord, it means that when we get on that narrow road with the Lord, it's the pathway of every victory we're ever going to need. And you know what happens as we fellowship with the Lord on the narrow path, as we're leading, going to our homeland, and we're just following him and loving him and so forth? Then we run across somebody, and all of a sudden, because we're new creations and Jesus lives in our heart, maybe you're at Kroger or Macy's or it doesn't matter, anywhere out in the public, the world. And you see someone, maybe at Kroger, and they're hurting, and you know they're hurting. And immediately you start hurting. You don't just, oh, well, they're hurting or they're what? No. And you start hurting. Why is that? You're having fellowship with Jesus. Do you understand? That's the mind of Christ that's in you, Philippians 2:5. That attitude, because Jesus lives in your heart. When he sees people hurting, does he care? Of course he does. And there he is working through his body, fellowshipping with you. And those emotions that you have come from him. You want to reach out. You want to change their world, and you know that you can do it through Christ Jesus. Loved one, that is intimacy. That is fellowship. When you follow the Lord, you're never going to walk in darkness. He's never going to cause you to go the wrong way. He's never going to get you in trouble, loved one. The Bible says in John 12:46, Jesus said, I've come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me will never or should not abide in darkness. Man, if you're not following Jesus in fellowshipping with Jesus, maybe you're not walking or not following him. You're not walking in the light. You're walking in darkness. We live in a world today that is drenched and overflowing in darkness, don't we? And the reason is like John the Apostle wrote, he said, listen, we know we are of God. We're born again. We're new creation. But the whole world lies in the sway or the cradle, the arms of the wicked one. Listen, we live in a dark, dark place where darkness is loved. Why was it that the most educated men, religious men, of Jesus' day, who knew the scriptures backwards and forwards, the Pharisees, the strictest of the sect, there Jesus, the light of the world, the Messiah, was right in front of them, and they did not get it. Why? Because they had grown comfortable with darkness. The Bible says in John 3:19, Jesus said, oh, this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men loved darkness rather than light. And the reason that they hate light is because lest their deeds, Jesus said, be exposed. You see, when the light has come, it exposes the dark things in a person's life. Amen? And oh, how we need to follow the Lord and not be held captive by anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8:12 again, he says, I'm the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Do you know to follow Jesus means we're obeying him? Amen? Is that right? Jesus told the Jews in John 8:31, he said to the Jews who believed in him, that were believing in him, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then my life scripture, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, it's only the truth that you know and then apply that sets you free. Amen? It's a terrible thing, loved one. No, it's a dangerous thing to be active as a believer in the church of God and yet not have interest in God's word. That's your daily bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? How we need every day to fellowship with God's word, so the Holy Spirit can illuminate that word and make it alive in your life. So we fellowship with God the Father as we walk in the light. We fellowship with Jesus as we follow him. Lord, here we are. We're going wherever you want us to go. He may send you anywhere in the world. You never know, but it'll be the perfect place for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. Man, to follow the Lord. See, if we really have fellowship with the Lord and follow him, then we have to make the word of God a priority. It says in Psalm 119:05, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It says in Psalm 119:130, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding. Man, Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If you are not, as a new creation, if you're not fellowshipping with God the Father, then maybe you might check out your heart because you might be fellowshipping with something else. If you are not in fellowship with Jesus Christ by following him, you might check out your heart because you're probably following something else. And then we come to the next. God is one, of course, but he's manifested in three personalities, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Now, you already remember that we covered that last in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last chapter, the very last verse, verse 14, where Paul closes with the greatest benediction found anywhere in the entire New Testament, a word, actually a verse that proves the Trinity, okay? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. He says in that word there, Paul writes, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand that part, and the love of God, we have that down, and here it comes, and the koinonia, the communion, the fellowship, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now listen, do you ever think about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? That's not some new doctrine. That's right there in front of us. He, the Holy Spirit, is the divine helper. Amen? He's our advocate. He's our standby. He's always with us. Man, I think about fellowship, that intimacy with him, participation, if you will, in his power, in his love, whatever he wants us to do. He is the one that takes us, loved one, from glory to glory to glory, conforms us into the image of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one, as it says in Romans chapter 8, I think it's verse 26, where it says that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but that the Holy Spirit, he comes to our aid, makes intercession for us, that we pray the will of God. Groanings, utterings, whatever it might be. Loved one, listen, there's nothing greater than the helper of the church. Amen? Think about that. He is here right this very minute. And all that we do to bring glory to Jesus, that's what the believer should do. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he said he will glorify me. And that's what the church must be doing. Now, in order to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, the epistle of Ephesians by Paul. And I want you to look, beginning in, as I turn there with you, I want you to look there in verse 25, Ephesians 4:25. Talking about fellowshipping now with the divine helper, the Holy Spirit. Paul writes and he says to us, the body of Christ, he says, therefore, putting away lying, that intent to deceive. Get rid of that. Don't ever do that again. Put it away. And let each of you, every new creation in Christ, let each of you, look at it now, speak truth with his neighbor. And the reason, we are members one of another. We're the body of Christ, one body. Listen, do you want your body, your personal body, to lie to you? No. You don't want it to say, you know what? It doesn't really matter. I don't even have a joke today, so it doesn't matter. I was going to say, you know, what if your brain didn't work? But we know that's true anyway, so I... Oh, Lord, forgive me. No, listen, we live in a world that can't be trusted. Did you know that? Did you know the world lies all the time? Matter of fact, I'm beginning to believe in fake news, okay? I mean, it seems like I don't know who to trust anymore. Do I go to the Washington Post? Do I go to the New York Times? Where do you go today? Fort Worth Star-Telegram? I mean, where do you go? I go to the Word of God if I want truth. Amen? Did you know you can go anywhere on earth, in any generation, in any time, any place, any continent, and if man has ever been there, you'll find that they lied. The Bible says all men are liars. You know, we're celebrating, what, the 50th anniversary of man landing on the moon. I'm not saying that anybody lied on the moon. However, if they did lie, there's even man has finally contaminated the moon with lies. Do you understand? Now, I'm not saying they did. I'm just saying suppose so. Listen, we should never be untruthful with one another. We don't have to be. I'm not saying that we just, you know, when somebody says, how do I look today? I mean, you don't lie about it. Just say, I'm thinking about it. I don't know. Can I pray about that? You can get out of it. No, yeah. Listen, we don't want to be liars. And not only that, look at this now. Be angry and do not sin. In other words, don't be angry, all right? And do not let the sun go down on your anger or your wrath. In other words, don't hold a grudge. Man, get rid of it. If you're upset with your wife, you're upset with your husband, you get ready to go to bed, get down on your knees, grab her, grab him, and pray. Lord, I forgive her. I forgive him. Amen? Don't go to sleep. Get rid of it. That's what the Word of God is telling you. And then it says, nor give place, topos is the word place, nor give place to the devil. Man, the word means to mark off a space, topos in the Greek, to mark off a space, a portion of your life, and say, okay, devil, you can come in and you can have this little bitty area. If you do that, he is going to rip you to pieces. Do you understand? Don't give him any opportunity in your life. And here we go. Let him who stole, steal no longer. Don't break the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal, in other words. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And let no, what? Putrid, dirty. Let no rotten word, let no rotten, corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Remember what Jesus said about the mouth and the heart? He said the heart is connected to the mouth. For out of the heart, the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Whatever's in your heart, it comes out. You'll know what's in that person's heart. He says, don't get rid of a filthy mouth. He says, and if you're going to use your mouth to speak, do what's good for the necessary to build people up, edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, that unmerited favor of God. And here it is, talking about the fellowship now of the Holy Spirit. And do not what? Don't make sad. That's what that word means. Don't hurt. Don't vex. Don't sadden the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, as the Bible teaches in Ephesians 1:14, I think it is our seal, our pledge, our down payment. In other words, seal speaks of ownership. We're owned by God. And not only that, it speaks of security. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, that earnest deposit that God has placed in us until the very day of redemption, which means he's going to get you home. He's going to grow you up in Christ Jesus or in Christ's likeness. And it says, though, let us not grieve. The Holy Spirit, if you look up Paraclete and all the rest of it, he's called the advocate, the intercessor. He's called the standby, the comforter. He's called the great helper of the church and our teacher and so forth. And he resides in our heart. He's also has come upon us, endued us with power from upon high. You know, think about something for a minute. Is the Holy Spirit of God perfect and holy? Yes. Does he in himself, since he is God, have perfect love? Perfect peace, perfect goodness, perfect joy, perfect thoughts. And yet, here we are, born from above, a new creation in Christ, and I can grieve him. I can hurt him. Do you know that that hurts me? To know that the Holy Spirit, Romans 15, what is it, 30, the Holy Spirit loves you, that I can grieve him. I can do things that so vex him that it hurts him. And I think, oh, Lord, I don't want to ever do those things. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I know that I have, and I know sometimes I do, but I don't want to grieve him. You can't fellowship with him if you are grieving him. It's an impossibility. And all the things that we just spoke, lying and stealing and corrupt the filthy, rotten mouth, they grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and there is no fellowship to be found at that time. But that's not all that grieves him. Look at verse 31. And let all bitterness, bitterness means to brood over something that's someone who has wronged you in the life, your life or something. You've suffered a wrong, and wrath, anger, that are literally outbursts of anger. We know that the anger of man doesn't work the righteousness of God, James says. No, he says clamor. Oh, that's a bad word. Clamor, evil speaking. Those are the gossipers, the whisperers, and whatever, whispering someone's ear. He says, look at this now. What does he say to do with those things? He said, put them away. Get rid of them right now. And with all malice and all that hatred and spite, get rid of it, every bit of it. You know, that word clamor, I don't know that there's anything that grieves the Holy Spirit like the word clamor. You see, the word clamor there in the Greek means this, the assertion of supposed rights. In other words, where a believer that's in Jesus Christ, you know, well, I'll give you a perfect example. I asked earlier, I said, we're asking that none of the children, your children, that they can't jump on the booths and run up and down the booths in the cafe, turn somersaults in the middle of the cafe, you know what I mean? And or run all the way through the lobbies and all those, you know what I'm saying? And but see, some if you're saying this, you better really think about it, because you're saying, well, I am the parent. Well, thank God. But if you're in clamor over it, in other words, I'm going to assert my supposed rights. Did you know that you're in trouble? Because that's what clamor is. You see, we don't have those kind of rights, do we? Are we to train our children? Absolutely, loved one. See, we need to stop saying, I have the right to feel this way. I have the right to have clamor. I have the right to have anger. Righteous anger, yes. Flesh anger, no. We're all going to be angry. Be quick to repent. You got me? Okay. Now, but listen, when we do those things, we get in trouble. Now, look at the next verse here. Watch. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. If you want to be in perfect fellowship or incredible fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, listen, you make verse 32 your walk. You do that. And you'll be surprised. You'll have intimacy like you cannot imagine. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Whenever I've run across in counseling, I don't have any joy. I don't know what to do. I don't have any direction anymore. You know, and I feel that God doesn't love me. As a matter of fact, I'm not even really excited about Jesus. I don't know what's going on. I always say to them, listen, have you grieved the Holy Spirit? Grieving the Holy Spirit explains why many Christians are miserable, because there's no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They're just grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, there's nothing worse than to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He is so tender. I mean, he is so perfect, and yet he lives in our hearts, and he is alongside of us. You remember, I've already talked about this, but do you remember that you know, if you really desire fellowship with the divine helper of the church, then you have to do something. You have to practice agreement with the Holy Spirit. Is he the one who is leading us today? It says to walk in the Spirit, doesn't it? It says to be led. The sons of God, who are they? They are those who are led by the Spirit. See, if we are not in agreement with the Holy Spirit, then we are grieving the Holy Spirit. Does it mean he doesn't love you? It doesn't mean you've grieved him away. It means you've grieved him. The Bible, I quoted earlier, Amos, what, 3:3, how can two walk together if they not be in agreement? Are we ambassadors of Christ? Okay. Have we been given the ministry of reconciliation? Okay. Have we been called to be fishers of men? Yes, he who winneth souls is wise. If we refuse to do those things, or we used to, or blame, I don't have enough, I'm not smart enough or skilled enough, which is a lie. You know, do you think that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Of course it does. It grieves him. It makes him sad. So we have to practice, loved one, that agreement with him. But if you really want fellowship, you have to practice awareness with the Holy Spirit to have not to grieve him. You know, when we use the word grieve, it's a love word. See, you can't grieve someone who doesn't love you. Amen? You can't, and people say, well, the Holy Spirit calls him an it or a language or an essence or a force or whatever. You can't grieve an it. You can't grieve a force. You can only grieve a person. And again, you can only grieve a person who is in love with you. What does that tell you? Listen to me now. The Holy Spirit has feelings. Did you understand? The Holy Spirit has emotions. You're trying to tell me that he feels and he hurts? Yes, I am. Because you can grieve him. He loves you. He sees you doing what you shouldn't be doing and you know you shouldn't be doing. He says, why? You are sons of the living and daughters, sons of the living God. You're co-heirs with Christ. You have my power residing in you. You have the word of God, the grace of God. I'm helping you to grow from glory to glory to glory. I have feelings. See, loved one, listen, if you don't practice awareness, you're going to be in a lot of trouble because he has emotions. You know, the Holy Spirit, if you go into Hebrews 10:29, it says that you can insult the Spirit Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit. That literally means to spit in the face of God, you know, and so forth. Oh, I look and I say, oh, God, listen, I have learned, and I'm not perfect, but I have learned this. In my deepest hour, I haven't ever present friend. Oh, he's here. Man, I go, dear Lord, I want a fellowship with you. I've experienced the joy, your direction, you're speaking to me, you're leading me. I want that kind of fellowship. Now listen to me, if you, in your walk with the Holy Spirit in fellowship, if you are not aware of his feelings, you will never be aware of his being with you. You'll never have that, know that his presence is there. It says in John 6:63, let me quickly, I'm just about through. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh doesn't profit at all. In other words, everything you have in this life, no matter how glorious and wonderful, if it's of the flesh, it's not going to matter. But boy, the Spirit, oh, the Spirit of God who changes you, who lives in you, who works in you. You want fellowship? Listen to what Jesus said in these verses that I'm getting ready to close. It says, Jesus said in John 14:15, he said, oh, if you love me, keep, that means to value, to treasure, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another of the same kind, another helper. He will give you another helper. That's the Holy Spirit, the divine helper of the believer in the church. He says, oh, that he would abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot welcome or receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him. For he, Jesus said, he, the Holy Spirit, is a person. Amen? He said, he will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Did you hear that? Jesus is getting ready to die, go to the cross. Go to the cross and die with it. He says, oh, I will come to you. I will presence myself to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Loved one, that's fellowship, amen? Jesus said again in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them or treasures them, and he who loves me, oh, that's the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and here it comes, and I will manifest myself to him. I'll make myself real. There'll be an ongoing fellowship, a koinonia, an intimacy. And listen now, he says, oh, he says, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, and here's the proof, he will treasure, he will keep my word. Now listen carefully. And my Father will love him. And this is a great scripture I'm getting ready to read. I love this scripture. I value, I treasure it. Jesus said, you know what? Then we will come. We will come to him. That person who loves me, that person who treasures my words, the word that God has exalted above his very name, loved one. Jesus said, oh, we'll come to him, and here it is, and make our home with him. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the most powerful Godhead in the universe, amen? The only Godhead. He says, home. I don't know about you, but isn't home the place of intimacy? Is it the place of mutual association? Is it the place where we have all things in common, where we go through life together? Isn't it the place where we love and we share and we grow? It's the place of fellowship. You see, we're the temple of the living God. He's right here, right in you, right this minute. Now listen to me. A new creation, I repeat it as I opened, a new creation is more than just a theological position. I'm born again. Yes, you are. But if you're born again, old things have passed away. All things become new. It's more than a theological position, loved one. It is an experience to be born from above, to have fellowship with God the Father in your prayer time. Oh, where you walk in there and you're really in fellowship because you really want to be in fellowship. It's not mechanical, cold praying. There's intimacy. And then you follow the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm following you, and I know that you've enabled me to follow you. You've given me the grace and the strength to follow you. Oh, the adventure of fellowshipping with Jesus. But then, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, that's why you hear me pray at every communion. Lord, if we have grieved or quenched or vexed or saddened the Holy Spirit in any way, we run to the throne of grace. That's where you need to go. If you are not experiencing intimacy with your Father, your Savior, your Helper, you need to go to the throne of grace and get right. Get right with God. Get back in the light. Get back on the narrow road. That's where you belong. Amen. There's no one like Jesus. You know, the writer of Proverbs, he cried out and he said this, "Oh, my son, give me your heart." Father, this morning, we love you. We praise you. We have the honor. We have the privilege, oh God, to come to the throne of grace. Lord, I speak for this church. I proclaim to you, we want to give you our heart. We want intimacy. We want fellowship. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you're here, that you'll never leave us, and you'll never forsake. Oh, Lord, may the sheep of your pasture, each and every one of them, that are not experiencing intimacy, repent right now. Just simply repent. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse all of us from all sin. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning, Jesus is not their Lord. They've never asked Christ to be the Lord of their life. I pray that they'll come to this altar when our song is over, where they'll find men and women, Lord, that'll pray with them and introduce them to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. We love you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.